seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your
Please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence as you have every Sabbath and every time we, whenever two or more are gathered, you are there in our midst. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us. And if we are so worthy with the latter rain, as we pray, as you instructed us to do in your word, that we should pray for that latter rain. And so thank you for blessing us there as well. And please, Lord, continue to bless us with a changing of the showbread on this Sabbath day. And bless everyone here in attendance, be they in the room, on the radio, or on the phone. And thank you so much for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list with salvation, physical and spiritual healings, and even financial healings, because some of them, as you know, being that you set up the princes and the paupers, some of them are in need there. There's their tests. And so they need help there. And thank you for hearing this prayer in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Q&A Sabbath. You know, I really love this because these are the emails, you know, and I am... you know, behind. Well, I'm not behind. And well, I try to keep under 100 now. I think I'm in the mid 80s now, where I'm behind in the emails. But Q and A's, I'm behind in the hundreds there, I'm thinking. But that's okay. We only need to do two or three because we're already, well, we're at 329. Well, today we'll be at 331 answered on the Q and A's of Sabbath Paths page. And so this is 329. But the reason I like this is because topical study, I just love it because it helps you understand more because we can't come up with all the questions ourselves. I tried that the first few years as a Christian, try to figure out a way to learn more in the Word. I mean, I still read it like I would do every day, you know, cover to cover. Well, not every day, but you know what I mean. And then I would like to do study, and I would always like to, you know, I would come up with a, well, I wonder if the Lord has anything on this, or I wonder if he has anything on that. But then after a while, it's like, I just can't come up with anymore. So I hit the streets and started asking people if they had any questions. And boy, did they ever. And so I praise God for this. This is the most enjoyable part of doing this work is, you know, answering the questions. And this one here is number 329. It says, how does every eye see Jesus when he returns? Now, this isn't one of those questions you can't really answer, but I throw a little bit of, you know, I guess you could say understanding from that which is written, because the Bible really doesn't go into detail there. But, and this is the email. It says, I hope you're doing well. Quick question for you. Matthew 24:30 says, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. I can't work out how everyone is going to see him. I mean, I can explain every eye shall see him, Revelation 1:17, or 1:7, he says. I don't know where he's getting that from, but he says, I can explain every eye shall see him, and then he puts in parentheses Revelation 1:7. Yeah, okay, yeah, the coming in the clouds thing. Maybe I was thinking of a different chapter. So he says it's a different event, no problem there, but it leaves Matthew 24:30 unexplained. Maybe if everyone was gathered in one place, like in a single country on earth when this happens. yeah, that's one of the first thoughts that would come to anybody's mind, I would think. But then he goes on, he says, but that makes no sense. Maybe on TV, mobile phones, etc. It gets even worse if you believe in geocentric earth. Any ideas? So, the verse in question, and thank you, Brother Sean, is in the room there, Matthew 24:30, and it says, And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So there's two events there, okay, well, the appearing of the sign of the Son of Man, and then, of course, him split in the eastern sky. So there, well, actually three if you talk about the mourning, you know, the Amos 8:11 thing, like when the plagues begin and everybody's out there going, oh no, the Christians were right, the Bible's right, we got to start digging in the Bible to try to find out how to fix our lives. No, it's too late. Read Amos 8:11, it's done. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, because no matter what you do, the prophetic statement is, whoever's unjust is going to stay that way. You know, once those plagues begin, it's over. You can read the Bible every single minute of the day for that entire year. Those plagues are falling, and you won't get a thing out of it because prophecy will not fail. And so there isn't really any easy way to answer how the Lord does this with the eastern sky other than to say what he revealed in Zechariah 14:7. And I like this one because this is one of the first times I took a dream to Scripture. Where in the dream I saw it was nighttime and daytime at the same time, couldn't figure it out. Then I found this, check it out, Zechariah 14:7. It says, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord. In other words, no man knows the day or the hour. So that David Mead guy from the Catholic Church needs to knock it off. But he's going to continue doing it because they have an agenda to try to make the prophetic utterances look bogus, especially when we go forth with the loud cry. And so again, this is a day known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And the reason I like to go there is simply because of a simple reality of nature and the way he created everything. What I mean is, for it to be day and night at the same time offers up all sorts of theories, from splitting the planet in two, as we see starting to happen right now in Africa. Do you guys check out that crack that's going? It looks like Africa is going to become two continents if it continues. But for it to be day and night at the same time, you know, some people could say, you know, if the planet was to split in two and then have both halves facing east, but still it's curved. You know, it's a ball, and so it's still going to be curved, and so people on the edges aren't going to be able to see if you're going to go with that, because that's when, according to the prophecy, the kings of the east come from there at the second coming, or could he simply appear in such a massive form wherein the planet is enveloped in his arrival so that everyone can see due east at the same time anywhere on earth. And that's something none of us can lock down in reality using modern-day physics. It just can't be done. But being that the Word of God doesn't go into detail as to how it will be day and night simultaneously, I'm just going to have to leave the details to him on this one. Because, I mean, all I know is that every eye is going to see him when the eastern sky splits. He doesn't have to explain to me or anybody, because we are to believe it no matter how he does it. But as for where on earth that happens, for every eye to see him, it will happen everywhere. I mean, that kind of reminds me of the pre-flood world. It was never dark at night because of the fiber optic abilities of the firmament, the great firmament that was floating 10 miles up, or was it 20? No, it's 10. That's right, that's 10. Because when the water burst forth, the water went up 20 miles. And it came out hot. And it melted that firmament because they've already proven using science today with the plausibility, you know, factors like, can this happen? Well, they did it in a scientific laboratory. Yeah, you can create that lattice or firmament, as it's called in Scripture. And it actually creates hydrogen metal, which is just really super cold water. And you can literally make a lattice to where there would be water. The whole planet would have a bubble of water all around it, but it's frozen, which would also make all the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that stuff glow even more so, where you could see the rings of Saturn without even binoculars. You could see the spot on Jupiter because it's just all magnified, and you can hear the stars sing and all that stuff. But when that great deep burst forth, it just fell. All that stuff fell down, and then the atmosphere was no longer twice as dense, which now is the reason we age so much quicker. I mean, anybody that's had a hyperbaric chamber, or is it hyperbolic? I don't know. You'll know how it slows down the aging process. But my point in sharing all that is at night, because of that water floating up above, when the sun would set, you would have a pinkish hue over the entire hemisphere of the planet that was what we would call darkness or night today. So it never really got pitch black dark. You go out at night, and, you know, especially if the moon was out, that thing would be like a glowing, really big, it would glow a lot more than it does today because it would, that water would magnify it. And so could it be that he recreates the firmament for a moment so that at the splitting of the eastern sky, every eye sees him coming? I don't know. Again, I'm going to have to leave the details to him. He's the one who created all this. I mean, he created all that is seen and unseen. And so he can do with it as he will. I mean, if Jesus can disappear right in front of an angry mob twice so as to walk safely through the mob and out of danger 2,000 years ago when he walked among us, he can easily appear to that same mob at the end of the world in any manner he sees fit. And by the way, have you heard scientists are puzzled by what's happening right now on the surface of the sun? It's the reason I mentioned the physics a moment ago. They stated it's so strange what's going on in the sun that everything we've learned over the centuries regarding physics here on Earth, we're going to have to be rewritten until someone comes up with a plausible explanation, obviously using mathematics, to figure out why the sun appears to be in its own time zone that is totally out of sync with every other time zone in the universe, which is just one time zone. Could it be the Lord is doing something with the sun that he plans to use at the second coming? No clue. We're just going to have to wait and see. In any event, this is his creation, and how he wields it cannot be explained or even questioned by man. And as for the clouds, since he is the one, since he used the clouds to hide his ascension into the city of New Jerusalem from the peering eyes of the apostles that day 2,000 years ago, which actually means the clouds had to cover more than just what could be seen from Earth. I mean, I can only speculate it once again, since no scripture is given to illustrate his return in that sort of detail, other than to say he's going to come in the clouds, right? But an educated guess would have to be that he's not speaking about the clouds on Earth, on everything here. For example, have you seen what's happening on the Orion Nebula? And I know everybody here, but we got some new people here because there's a section on the website that I go into detail about this. As a matter of fact, I'll put the link in the room. And for those of you listening on the internet, just go to or on the radio. Well, they didn't send it. Oh, there it goes. Just go to remnantgod.org/near-the-end.htm. And then that hash sign, you know, the hash mark, and then just the word Orion. There is actually a cloud moving towards the Earth as we speak. And like I got info about this here. So how long is it going to take for that cloud to get here? As long as he wants it to. That's just no sooner and no later. And if he plans to speed things up or slow things down in the process, I mean, the fact that the sun is acting strange when it comes to time zones, well, yeah, he could do that too. I mean, case in point, how about when the angels went and told the Lord about Daniel being tossed in the lion's den? Before Daniel hit the ground, they came back and shut the lion's mouths. If you look at the way that it's written in the scripture, that's what happened. They left. They said what was happening. They get back. So they had to go many light years to get to the nebula and come back. As for it being a known country regarding the location of all mankind to witness the splitting of the eastern sky as per Revelation 16:12 speaks of? No, that passage is referring to the kings of the east as per the prophetic utterance surrounding plague number 6. And see what I shared online about this as well when you get time. It's in my on my seven last plagues page on the website. But just so you know, since we know Jesus is the King of Kings and his Father will be sitting on the throne when they both appear before all on that great and dreadful day, then it can be clearly understood that the kings of the East has nothing to do with the Chinese Empire, as so many believe, in the Vatican-controlled seminaries and the Bible colleges, and everything to do with the Father and the Son splitting the eastern sky. I mean, the basic reality is here that the river Euphrates would not have to literally, because that's a prophetic symbol too, but they're saying it literally has to dry up for them to cross due to today's technology. They can do it. Even back in D-Day, in the 1940s, I think it was, D-Day went down. You know, look at how they were able to get all those soldiers across all that water. They didn't have to wait for anything to dry up. And so that, too, is a false prophetic definition is the way they put it. But that's a whole other study. So let's go to the next one here, number 330. Will the Lord be upset with me if I tithe to a 501c3 church? And this person says, hello, Pastor Nicholas, I have a question. Is it right to pay tithe in a 501c3 church, even if you are already in that church? I am saying this because I am in a Seventh-day Adventist church, which is a 501c3 tax status church. I have been studying your materials on your site on this matter, so I have been for 2 years without paying tithe to the church because of the message I read concerning the dangers of the 501c3 tax status of the IRS. Yeah, because they're trying to push forth a bill in regards to that. And when they start pushing the bill, which means they're all going to do it as if it's law in the hopes that it'll be passed. But he finishes by saying, secondly, pray for me as I'm meeting trials in my Christian life. Satan is attacking me. And I come back with more or less saying that, well, Satan's attacking you because, like many obedient Christians, you threaten him with your spiritual eyesight, and he knows if you share that which the Lord has revealed regarding the 501c3 with others in that church, they may see what you see about the fallen state of the Seventh-day Adventist church. And so expect the attacks. It actually is the norm for God's obedient people who stand outside the SDA church, as prophecy said they would, who are seeking to warn those people that are still trapped within it. And yes, I say outside the church, as this is the proper prophesied position for the bride of Christ today. No getting around what that which is written. You can't change Christian prophecy. And we can only follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And when those plagues begin to fall, you're not going to find a single obedient child of God still in an SDA church. You can't, again, rewrite scripture. And so as for the 501c3 church, the prophecies and biblical jurisprudence found in both scripture and spirit of prophecy are quite clear. Every obedient child of God still in those churches today must come out so as to show they obey God more than the man on the pulpit. It was said during the synagogue days. It was said during the Catholic days with Martin Luther. It was said, the SDAs said to come out of the fallen churches in their day, and now we're saying in the 11th hour that you got to come out. You can't change prophecy. The fact you're emailing me and have actually stopped tithing to the SDA church tells me that you already made the decision to leave and simply need further confirmation. Brother, according to the Word of God, you are making the right decision. But as for tithing to a 501c3, three things come to mind. Number one, tithing to them actually helps them further build up the image of the beast. And I can tell you by your short email, you don't want to do that. Number two, tithing to them actually nullifies your tithe because, and that's why the Holy Spirit stopped them, by the way, it nullifies the tithe because it's being sent to such churches, and it allows, and they even advertise, that you can get a tax write-off, which means you actually gain financially by tithing to them. And the Bible's clear that the tithe is to be complete removal from the pocket. Therefore, tithing to them is not seen as obedient to the Lord either. Remember when Saul tried to convince Samuel that he thought it was a good idea to offer up the sheep and the oxen of King Agar after he defeated him and his army? Saul would have gained by giving a sacrifice using Agar's livestock. I mean, that's just obvious. But how can it be considered a legitimate sacrifice at all when nothing was removed from Saul's livestock? How could that be considered a sacrifice? He wasn't sacrificing anything. He was sacrificing Agar's stock, not his. What he was supposed to offer sacrifice from was his own cattle. But on offering up the ox or sheep of Agar meant his livestock wouldn't shrink in the same way tithing to a 501c3 church allows the income to gain, even if you only in a slight manner at the end of the year get a bigger tax refund. even if it's only $100, a few hundred dollars or so, it's still a gain. And so instead of being a tithe, the Lord looks at it in the same way he did when Saul did what he did with Agar's cattle and sheep. And so I have to ask, how well did that work out for Saul? Not too well, right? And then finally, number three. We are only to tithe to the church wherein we are fed his truth, so as to further the work of present truth going forth from that same church. That's the reason the Lord has us here. Or has us in any church that you are fed in. The fact you haven't tithed to the SDA church proves you aren't being fed in the SDA church, because as you already intimated, you know tithing to them is wrong, and therefore anything they have to offer in any way of a biblical education, for that matter, is always going to be seen as untrustworthy by you, because if they cannot see the truth regarding the image of the beast, that means they are not being obedient to the God that penned those prophecies in the first place. And this is why Satan is attacking you. He knows you see this, even if you never said anything to anyone as of yet. Because he can read body language, right? And so he knows you stopped tithing to them for biblical reasons, and that makes it obvious that you are being moved by the Holy Spirit to withhold the tithe so as to use it wisely. And that scares Satan in a big way. And so I finish more or less by saying, I pray you are blessed. I will add you to my private prayer list and would ask you to please keep in touch. I love seeing the Lord's hand move in the lives of people, of God's people. And then finally, this last question is actually something I got in the way of a comment on YouTube, because I treat those as emails too. And that kind of busies the day as well. But the question, or actually it's a statement. It's not a question. He says, Christians fail to realize that atheists will believe if given the evidence. And this is his comment that he put on that video that I put up recently about, and they say there's no God, where I show the a single cell moving around in the inner ear of a zebrafish, because they actually were able to get high definition and video of this happening. Oh, man, my jaw dropped when I saw it. That's why I made that video yesterday. Saw it yesterday morning, and boom, it was up on YouTube within a few hours. But this is what he says. Nicholas POGM, you said in your video about the Pope and the little boy. Oh, okay, this was about the little boy. I'm sorry. All right. Different video, but I do have a few videos about atheists, and so they do have a tendency to hit me with these questions or statements. But he says, you said in your video about the Pope and the little boy with the atheist dad that recently died that his dad was an atheist and he made his choice and now he's dead. And I didn't leave it and dangle it there. I mean, it was a lot gentler and how I went on from there, right, in the video. And then he goes on to say, why can't religious people understand that people don't choose to become an atheist? If you are presented with good evidence and proof, you would automatically believe. If not, you would not believe. It's that simple. This is one of the reasons that I don't believe in the Bible. How can a just God punish his fallible creation for simply not believing in him or his only begotten son, Jesus? How can he punish his creation for non-belief when his creation has no control over what they believe? Or, well, he said belief. I'll change that for him because it's the wrong word. Spell checker didn't work, I guess, for him. Oh, now I put too many I's in there. And then he finishes by saying, or they have neither seen or experienced him. And so this is how I responded. And I praise God that YouTube has allowed us to put longer comments. But here's the problem with YouTube. Their threads don't work properly. It's not like the old Usenet days where you can keep track and have a tree running to where you can tell where it starts and where it ends. No, it's really, really good. And half the time, I don't even get the comments. I literally have to go to the video. It says that on my little bell, it says I got 4 comments, let's say. I go in the video, I've got 40 comments. Because YouTube just doesn't work right. Anyway, this is what I responded with. I go, you said, why can't religious people understand that people don't choose to become an atheist? If you are, and then he says, if you are presented with good evidence and proof, you would automatically believe. If not, you would not believe. It's this, it's that simple. And I said, well, actually, it's not that simple. And what I mean is, if what you say is true, then explain Pharaoh, who has been confirmed in historic record, even outside the Bible, that most atheists hate to read. It's, I mean, it's historic record. Right, there was a pharaoh. Right, I mean, we have pyramids still on the planet, right? And so that man had so much evidence. The pharaoh, he had so much evidence to know the God of the Bible existed that it shocks most today why he refused. Everything from the 10 plagues that came upon him, which came after Moses literally told him they would come to the letter in advance. So Moses even prophesied, right? Let him know these things are coming. And he even saw the Red Sea splitting right before his eyes, engulfing his entire army, in fact, killing them all. Not to mention the tower. I didn't mention in the thing, I didn't mention the tower of fire at night and cloud in the day, or smoke in the day. And then I go on, I tell him, says, and before you respond by claiming that that's just a Bible myth, know this. Just recently, they found the real place where this all happened, because the Bible maps have been altered as well, by the way, everybody. I don't know if you know that, but they haven't. But they found the real place where this has all happened. And not only is there geological evidence of a massive shelf wide enough for the Jews to cross over the Red Sea once the Lord displaced all that water hiding it, they also found chariot wheels at the bottom of both trenches that ran alongside that shelf that became as dry ground. And this happened the days that the Jews walked on the on dry ground while the water rose up high above their heads when it split as they walked to safety. And it didn't even have to go that high if you think about it, because the water rushing when it came back down would have pushed all those soldiers into the trenches, which were hundreds of feet deep. And this is why it took until modern times for what I'm about to share. But before I share that, there's even I told them that there's even a pillar placed there by King Solomon to this day with Hebrew etchings upon it that speak of Egypt, Pharaoh, Moses, death, and water. And then I gave him the link to check out the pillar, right? And so again, this isn't a Bible myth. It's a confirmed historic fact. Now, look at today. Have you ever seen my main site with over 14,000 pages of data proving all the prophecies that were to come to fulfillment by this time in history were confirmed and documented, fulfilled, with just the last few left to go? And just so you know, their foundations have even been proven set in stone. And so it's going to happen. And still, there are people with the exact same heart as Pharaoh today who, no matter how much evidence is given them, they refuse to see the God of the Bible. And so it's not about the evidence of seeing God that moves the heart. It's how God enters the heart of the willing person that moves the faith. Yeah, his priorities are a little bit mixed up, but hopefully he'll see. And then I go on to tell him that you also need to keep in mind that if the atheist man that died baptized those children in the Catholic Church, then he was already set up to stay atheist, as Roman Catholicism is the most evil religion known to man that is purposely designed to do all it can to keep people out of the Bibles. Hence the reason for atheism booming in today's world. And so if Satan lures the man to an atheist mindset, and Catholicism is the only alternative offered regarding Christianity, as it is in the mind in most third world countries today, then that man was already standing with one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel just from being closely associated with the prophesied harlot church. He never looked outside that church. He thought that was it, and that's what he based his theology on. I mean, the real simplicity here is the fact that due to today's end time society, wherein evil is good and good is evil, most people are just hateful towards God because of how weak the majority of the so-called Christians have become. I mean, they see how Christians act very evil. They see how none of the Christians have any real prayers answered. And so the atheists will most assuredly refuse to read the Bible because they don't want to be like all the hypocrites claiming to be Christians out there. And yes, that too was prophesied to the letter by the prophet Isaiah. And I told him to check out Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. But I didn't give him the Bible verse. I don't want that man to get his hands on a Bible. And so I just didn't give him that's the first time in years that I've never given a Bible, I've spelled it out. I want him to look it up. And just so you know, when I say Bibles, I'm not talking about the Vatican, the exposed Vatican rags that some people call Bibles. And yeah, that's a tough term to hear, but it's true because thousands and thousands of verses are missing. And I gave him a link to prove it. And I'm talking about the only Bible that matches the Dead Sea Scrolls, the King James Version, with its original preface, actually identifies the popes of Roman Catholicism as Antichrist. I gave him the link for that as well. That atheist man, like millions and maybe even billions of others before him, have all had the same chance to accept or reject the free gift of God. But sadly, he refused and made his choice. And now he's dead. And no. It's not about God punishing him or anyone either. God's love is so overwhelming that when you accept him as your God, he reveals himself to you and actually protects you and puts love and peace in your heart that cannot be explained. Other than to say it was a miracle to witness. I mean, seriously. It's one thing to witness people healed of disease and some even get off deathbeds to the point of shocking doctors, as I've seen more than once in my lifetime, but to witness that God can change my mind? Back when I accepted his son as Savior, where he changed me from a very sinful man to a preacher and then a pastor, that, my friend, is a miracle I never thought possible. I literally loathe the sinful lifestyle I used to crave. But the sad thing is, most people today refuse God because they think they can't do this or can't do that when they walk with Jesus. They got to give up all this stuff, right? But once you do walk with him, you discover that you can actually do those things you never thought possible before you met him. And the things you thought you could never stop doing ended easily the very day you met Christ. That's why I call it a miracle. But many can't give up sin. And so they make excuses that, you know, God doesn't exist, or you're taking that Bible verse out of context, or they're taking it out of context in their own mind, let's say. And so they do that to make themselves feel vindicated as they walk in a sinful manner thinking, God's going to look the other way on this one. The God of creation gave us all free will, but most walk away from him, and then he simply does for them as they prefer. I mean, he leaves them alone. In fact, it even says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. Free will. Now, here's where it gets scary, and I'll close with this. When God leaves mankind alone, as they, not him, requested, then they are literally on their own. And so when Satan, the dying god of this world, needs them to glorify his lies for whatever reason, he cripples them, he gives them diseases, he sends them to prisons, he moves them to worship him and cultivate even more lost souls, you know, the Satanists of today, and yes, he even kills them. So people like an atheist can claim God punished him, when in fact, they punished themselves by walking away from the only true and ever-living God that loved him enough to send him his only begotten son, so that they don't have to die. And so, don't blame God when people get punished. They did that to themselves. And again, I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which thou knowest not. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which thou knowest not. Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, which thou knowest not.
Amen. Trust the Lord. If you can heal, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the changing of the showprint. Thank you for blessing us with your word. You could have just let us run like rudderless boats throughout eternity. But no, you not only sent your only begotten son, you gave a scripture. Like a map to get home. A treasure map of eternal treasure. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for blessing us in the remainder of the Sabbath day. Blessing everyone that was in attendance today and all those that are being listening to the studies and sermons next Sabbath that are on the other side of the world. And thank you also, Father God, for blessing everyone that's doing the work with a strong hedge of angels because, as you know, some of them are ending up behind bars now for sharing this truth in some of the other countries, like Uganda, for example. And so please keep them safe, bless them, and give us more work to do, Father, because we want to go home. And thank you for blessing that work and blessing everyone's prayer requests that were in the room earlier and all those that are on our prayer list. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.